Times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, folks. Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes alongside Doug McCary coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, April 23rd. Glad you tuned in. And Doug, good to see you, brother. How are you?
You too, Bradley. Glad to have you back. Thank you, David Gray and Craig Henderson, for handling the duties yesterday. I appreciate that.
They handled it well. Yeah. Actually, you got a chance to listen to those guys.
Yeah, they did. And I appreciate also them bringing up Rod Cherry, who is a SWAT brother in the hospital. Rod is the oldest we know of surviving person with spina bifida.
Right.
And he is... really been struggling. He has some kind of infection or something. So please keep Rod Cherry lifted up in your prayers. And there's, Brad, a whole host of people with either struggling with their own health issue, like our, you know, our brother Michael, who's waiting on a liver, or there's our brother Christopher, whose wife, sweet Georgia, is struggling with cancer. Jay, his wife, has cancer, and they're out, and they listen. I know they listen. I just want you guys to know we're all praying for you, yes. And we would ask, if you're listening today, just lift those names up. Also, my pastor's assistant, her husband is really struggling with stomach cancer and really struggling. Pray for Tim. Just lift Tim up. And also pray for Brian, who's been on the program before, his wife, Angel.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's all over, Brad. Yeah. Is it not to you?
Yeah, it does. Well, and you know, we get up here and chat it up, you know, week day after day, but we want to know. We want to be praying for those of you who are part of our community. And, you know, it does, as you build relationships with people in your community, you know, we want to be a place where we're bearing those burdens together with you. And, yeah, I was thinking about all the guys that end up on our prayer sheet that we can be praying for. If you have something you need prayer for, please email us, ask@swatradio.com, doug@swatradio.com, or brad@swatradio.com. I always love the opportunity to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters who are out there tuning in.
Yes, really, really lift them up. And also for our listeners in Meridian, WMER and WMOX, you know, I am sad to report that a good friend of our families and a man who was a simulator instructor there. In fact, he was one of my simulator instructors. I went to school with his daughter, Wayne Backman, is in the Church Victorious right now. He went to be with the Lord on Sunday, and Wayne Backman was just, he was a servant. He went to Israel with us, Brad. I don't think you were on that trip. I think it was, you weren't there with Tom. You remember Tom Reed, right? This is Tom's father-in-law.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is.
No, Tom went to the Philippines with us, so I think, didn't he?
Yes. He did. But Wayne was just a great guy. He served in the Navy. He was a pilot and ended up being an instructor. And then I think he went on to work for UPS, not UPS, FedEx. I think he was a FedEx guy. I can't remember. Anyway, Wayne, if you're listening in Meridian, pray for Jan and Patty and Steve. Patty and Steve are his sons, and I lift up our friend Tom, who we were talking about. But that just happened, and he was, like I said, he was a guy who served and was a servant, always serving. He's with Jesus now. And that's an encouraging thing.
What a promotion that is, right?
Yeah, it really is. Lift up that family, like I said, man, I just feel like it's this kind of stuff is going around. And he died in his sleep, Brad. Mm. He was out the day before, 85, the day before, he's out cutting grass, then takes off the mower blades to sharpen them. I mean, wow. Like at 8, I don't even do that.
Right, right.
So anyway, just please lift up that family. They're having a memorial service, I think, this weekend for Wayne. But he was just a great brother, constant encouragement, always writing me little notes, sending me things. Great? Yeah, just a real encouragement. So pray for Jan, his wife, and Patty and Tom. So, one of the things that we do during the first little segment is talk about things going on. And there's some things.
Is there anything going on?
Well, there's a lot going on. There's some things that you may just flip on the news and you see like these anti-Israel protests, which are just crazy. I mean, like, if you look at, Brad, all of them going on, it's almost like the BLM protest just now went. And instead of BLM, they're pro-Palestinian, Hamas. People are saying we are Hamas.
It's really more like,
which is a terrorist organization, right?
Exactly. It's a little bit like, remember Occupy Wall Street? Uh-huh. I mean, these people are camping out. They are living there on the campus at Columbia, but it's not exclusive to Columbia.
Yeah.
I think I saw they're at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Michigan. Mm-hmm. What's the answer here to this?
I don't know, but it looks like somebody is buying the same tents for all the people that are camping out.
Right?
Somebody I heard, they said it looks like REI had a going out of business sale and they went and bought all the tents up for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the same kind of signs, the same kind of tents, the same stuff at different campuses, it almost as if somebody is behind all this, one person, right?
Yeah,
or a
yeah.
group anyway.
Yep.
Right?
No doubt.
So that's one big thing going on out there that I just never thought I'd see the day that people are supporting terrorists over Israel in our country.
And us, well, not only that, but we're not doing anything about it.
I know.
I mean, let's just reverse this scenario. If this were Christians doing this,
yeah,
how long would they tolerate it?
Oh, wouldn't happen too long.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be going on too long. I don't know. It's a bad deal. We need to pray that some leader somewhere will step up. I almost wish people would mobilize just to go up there and be protection for the people that are being bullied by all these people. I saw the other day one girl got stabbed in the face with one of the flags. She was trying to get through. They're forming blockades, and that's why I'm saying it alludes back to the BLM stuff, because people just think they can go in and do this, and thankfully, at least they are mobilizing some police. But one guy said the other day that there's more police at the trial of President Trump than there are on these campuses, which is a joke. You should have more people out there. But that's one of the things going on in the news. We just certainly need to pray. But there was something else that popped up that you didn't even know about that I just caught wind of over the weekend. It happened last week. And James River Church is a Pentecostal church in Missouri. And they have a weekly attendance of about 19,000 people. So that's a fairly large church, right? Right. Well, this past week, they had a conference called, I think it's called a Strongman or Stronger Man.
Yeah.
Stronger Man Conference. And when they opened up the conference, they had a guy who's been on America's Got Talent. He's been on several of those programs, and he is a, quote, sword swallower who used to be a male stripper. And they opened up their conference with him doing some kind of deal. He had a pole up there, man. He's going up the pole. He comes down. He takes the sword. He rips his shirt off. It's really bizarre. Like when you're watching it, it's just such a bizarre thing. I'm sitting there going, "What is this guy doing?" And then he takes the sword. He swallows it, and then climbs up the pole
with a sword down his throat.
Yeah, with a sword down his throat, and he does that, and then they kick off the conference. His name is Alex Magala, and by his own confession, he's not the kind of, quote, believer these people are. He said that. You can listen to his own interview.
Really?
Yeah. He's an Orthodox Christian who says he was saved at birth because of his faith, mm-hmm. his Orthodox, mm-hmm. the church. And so, anyway, Mark Driscoll, if you've heard The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, if you haven't, you need to listen to
it.
Just a great docuseries on Mark Driscoll, who was really almost like a celebrity pastor, yeah. started Mars mm-hmm. Hill Church, was doing a lot of stuff, but got fired, called to account by the elders, mm-hmm. stepped down. Did he ever really repent, Brad?
No. Uh-uh. Not that I'm aware of.
And so he went, started another church
in Arizona.
But some of the people that stood by him were the people at this church as he was going through that. Hmm. So he's had a relationship. So he gets up there to speak on Elijah the day after this. So he's speaking the second day, not the first day.
Okay.
So the sword swallower happens. Next, goes through. The next day he gets up and he's speaking on Elijah. And he gets down on his knee and he says, there's a spirit of Jezebel already here. And he proceeds to rebuke what happened. And he says, I'm not standing in judgment of anybody, but I just want to make an observation. The spirit of Jezebel was here. And he literally said, this guy who came up the first moment of the conference ripped his shirt off like a stripper ripping her mm-hmm. top off, mm-hmm. climbs up a pole like an Asherah pole,
right.
which, men worship the immorality stuff. And he says, I think we need to repent of this. Well, the pastor, a guy named John Lindell, said, stop, Mark, you're done. And basically tells him, and he says, okay, pastor, I'll receive that. So Mark walks off the stage. I don't know what happens right immediately after, but he and Mark talk. And he gets up and he says, Mark should have came to me. He and I met 30 minutes before he spoke. He didn't say anything. He just gets up and does that. So they talk. They come back out on stage the next or day or later that day and agree to love each other. Mark says maybe he shouldn't have been so quick. He should have met with him first. But now it's devolved into a full-blown war where the pastor of that church has now called Mark to repent. And Mark saying, no, he hadn't done anything he needs to repent of. And it's a bad deal. It's a really bad deal. It's in the USA Today. It's all over. People are talking about it. And it is just an ugly mark. Why? I don't mean that facetious. I mean, it's a mark on the body of Christ. But why is that important? Well, we've become so pragmatic that we got to start a biblical men's conference mm-hmm. off with some kind of funky act like that. I mean, that's just crazy.
Entertainment.
Yeah, that's what it is. But the other thing is, even this church, James River Church, they're co-pastored by a man and a woman.
There you go.
And, again, you start going away from God's word, you're inviting these kind of things into it. Absolutely. God has very clearly spoken on the leadership of the church and on the way we should conduct ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. We're not encouraging you to go look at it because this this isn't an issue of gossip.
No.
It's just, to your point, we get away from Scripture. You're destined for trouble.
That's the whole point.
Hey, glad you tuned in. We're going to take a quick break. Glad you're tuning in. Call us at 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com if you have any questions or comments. Love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Look at this.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in. Doug and I here hanging out. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. Glad you tuned in. Call us this afternoon, 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. We are in Mark chapter 6. We're looking at verses 7 through 13 and verses 30 through 32, talking about the first short-term mission trip.
And, Brad, when was your first short-term mission trip? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I don't. Probably, to be honest, wasn't until I was in my mid-30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, mine was early 30s, mm-hmm. and I was an FBI agent here in Jacksonville, and John Krug and Bennett Brown invited me to go with them to Russia.
Yeah.
And I had to get special permission from Director Free to go. And so I got that permission, and I had a trial scheduled it was scheduled for early September. Then it got moved to late September when I was supposed to be on the mission trip. And I remember thinking, okay, everything was working out, and I was supposed to be on this mission trip, and now this trial gets moved. And the chief federal judge for the area was a guy named Judge Moore. And Judge Moore did not grant continuances for the government, ever. And I remember going to the prosecuting attorney and asking if they would ask for a continuance so I could go on this mission trip. And they kind of laughed and said, no, I'm not going to do that. So I felt compelled in praying to go to Judge Moore myself, not to him, but to his clerk, and ask the clerk if he would ask Judge Moore. His name was George. And I remember calling him, and even George was skeptical. He goes, you know, he doesn't usually grant continuances for the government. I go, but George, tell him, I really feel like God's calling me to go on this trip. And so I end up asking him, and 3 days later, George called me back, and Judge Moore moved the trial back. Well, this really irritated the prosecuting attorney. I remember having to go in, and I was asked, why'd you do that? You're not supposed to do that. But it was one of those things that God ended up using in my life. I ended up resigning after this trip to go full-time in ministry. And God wanted me on that trip. And sometimes when God is preparing you to go on these trips, what you think are obstacles are opportunities for faith testers and faith witnesses to talk to people. And you got to remember, up until this point, Jesus has been the only one really preaching the euangelion. He has been doing all the preaching. The disciples have been with him for a while now. They've watched him. They've heard him over and over and over. And so remember, and last week we saw Jesus took him to Nazareth, and he kind of modeled rejection for them. This is what it looks like when you're rejected. And we saw how unbelief responds to the truth. It ridicules. And so he was preparing them to be ridiculed, to be maligned, and literally to see some places where that people would oppose the power of God. They didn't care. So it says that after Nazareth, Jesus left and went to the villages. And this week we see him send out the 12. So now instead of just him being the one, he's now got six teams of two that he sends out. We don't know exactly where they went, but he said, listen, the sheep are like, the people are like sheep without a shepherd. Back in Matthew 9, he said, the harvest is plentiful. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And they actually became the answers to their own prayers there. And he sends them out. But this is the first generation of ministers and ambassadors. And as they go out, we kind of are like, yeah, they're going out and it's a big deal. But they were just ordinary men, not one Sadducee or Pharisee among them. They just went out and they followed this radical teacher named Jesus. And their names were Simon, Peter, and Andrew. They're always mentioned in twos. And then groups of four, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and then Simon the Zealot and Judas. And yesterday, David and Craig did a great job of introing it and getting into that first point of proclaiming the euangelion. That's what he sends them out to do. When you go on a mission trip, that's your primary objective, right? But they also projected his authority in the darkness. They took the light to the darkness. They proved their dependence on God, and we're going to see that in the text. They pointed out unbelief. You don't hear that a lot in our culture, Brad. Yeah. And even going on mission trips, people are reluctant to point out unbelief and its consequences. They just want to give good news. But you can't give good news without bad news.
That's right.
And when people reject, we shouldn't be, oh, okay, it's okay that you reject.
Right, right.
I mean, they pointed out the unbelief, and Jesus gave them very specific instructions of how to respond to people that responded with rejection. And then we saw them persevere to the end, and we'll look at that. And so we'll start, Brad, by having you read 6, 7 through 13, and then verses 30 through 32, and then a quick little recap of proclaiming the euangelion, which is one thing they were sent to do, and projecting his authority. That'll be where we'll spend most of our time today.
Yeah, Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now go over to verse 30. And the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, you want me to keep going there?
No, okay. That's good. But you know what's great about that? These are the words of God that Brad just read. And what's great about that is there at the end, and I can't say I've thought about it a whole lot till, you know, just going through this, is how compassionate is that, that he saw they were weary and he said, you guys need to rest. We're just going to go get away. Think about that. I mean, like, he didn't have a whole lot longer, maybe a year.
Right.
And he says, you guys have been working hard. Come on, let's go. We're going to go rest.
It's good.
Isn't that great?
It's good.
Sometimes we need to rest.
Yeah.
And I'm the world's worst at resting. My wife will tell you that I've got to be doing something. I have a hard time with, you know, not doing something. Mm-hmm. You probably are like that too. I mean, you just can't just sit around and do not feel like I got to be, I'm ADD almost. I got to do something. And so, like, I imagine Peter had a hard time with that probably, you know, but anyway, he told them to rest there. But I want to go back to verse 7a. He called them and began to send them out two by two. The reason he sends them out two by two is in their culture, you had to have at least two witnesses to verify something. So he sent them out, and we know from the Luke account in the 9th chapter, verse 2, he says he sent them out to proclaim. That word there in Luke is caruso, and it's to preach with a sense of urgency. And so I've explained this before on here. The difference between teaching and preaching is when you teach, there's not necessarily that sense of urgency. Like, you may be on a couch teaching your grandchildren, hey, you know, like, you live close to San Jose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, San Jose is a busy road. When you guys are running around the neighborhood, be careful about going on San Jose. You're talking to them, controlled environment. You're not really, that sense of urgency isn't there. Preaching or caruso is when you're outside and you see your grandkids running towards San Jose and you go, hey, stop.
Right.
Don't go there. You're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sense of urgency. That's preaching.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher. There's always a sense of urgency, it seems.
But there should be, correct?
Yeah. With this, when you're preaching the Evangelion,
right,
it's the most important thing anybody could ever hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were they proclaiming? What was the Evangelion? Well, you go back to Mark 1, and it's what Jesus said, repent, believe, and follow. And in repentance, we know they say that from verse 12. You read that for us, that repentance is what they preached with urgency. And it's not just a change of mind.
Yeah.
It's a new life embracing the rule and reign of Jesus over our sin and our life. And when we come back, we'll pick it up there and move into the second part of verse 7 about projecting his authority that he gave them to.
Amen. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us your questions or comments to ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
SRN News. I'm John Scott. The Senate is returning to Washington to vote on a $95 billion war aid package to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Washington must send the world a clear signal.
The Senate sits for a test on behalf of the entire nation. It's a test of American resolve, our readiness, and our willingness to lead. And the stakes of failure are abundantly clear.
The $61 billion for Ukraine comes as that war-torn country desperately needs new firepower as Russian President Vladimir Putin has stepped up his attacks. Also at SRNnews.com, as the student protesting continues, Columbia University's main campus will switch to hybrid learning for the rest of the semester. More than 100 pro-Palestinian demonstrators who had camped out on Columbia's New York campus were arrested last week. On the economic front, General Motors' first quarter net income rose more than 25%.
Have you tried to buy a new vehicle lately? GM is talking about its sales. Its average sales price for a vehicle is just under $50,000. And that's down a little bit from last year, says GM. Pickup sales remain strong, and General Motors says it is not seeing the price erosion across its lineup that other companies have seen. As a matter of fact, its first quarter net income rose more than 25% on strong deliveries of pickup trucks and other higher profit vehicles. I'm Rita Foley.
And on Wall Street, the Dow ahead 294 points. The NASDAQ is adding 239. This is SRNU.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Expect some delays because of a crash on the West Beltway on 295 northbound at the Buckman Bridge. Also, there's congestion on I-95 northbound between Butler Boulevard and Bowden Road, and congestion on I-95 northbound at the ramp to 8th Street. Clear tonight, low 57, Wednesday sunny, high 83. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Sky traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight, touch down in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're tuned in. And you can always call 844-777-7928. Love to take your calls. And, let's see, David and Craig yesterday mentioned your interview with James Coates, Pastor James Coates, on Thursday, which it ran again on Friday, which was great. I caught pieces of it. And by the way, if you didn't catch that interview, as you and I were just talking about, his exposition of Romans 13.
Really good.
Boy, do we need some of that. Do we need to really understand that?
Yeah, we do, because it's coming, folks. If you think COVID brought in government mandates and things that, and it was so helpful to hear a guy who had done a lot of biblical study on this issue and then lived it out. He went to jail for 35 days in a maximum security prison, not because he committed some heinous crime,
right,
but because he refused to stop meeting as a church.
And I thought what was interesting is they would release him if he was willing to sign, you know, an agreement that he would not do that. And he said, I can't do it.
He said, I can't do it. The man has conviction.
Yeah.
And we're going to, next week on the radio, here's a teaser for SWAT this week, we're going to look at a man who didn't have conviction in King Herod Antipas.
Well, there's a lot of that in our day.
Yeah, there is.
By the way, you know, you're going to have Mike Riccardi on this week from Grace Community out in California.
Another church that went through, had all kinds of, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines because they refused to wear masks and vax, require vaxes. They refused to stop meeting, and they didn't have anybody within that body have to even go to the hospital during that time because of COVID.
Right. Isn't that
was amazing.
Yeah. If you haven't seen The Essential Church, before you cast judgment on any of that, I would just really encourage you to go watch The Essential Church. You can get it on, I think, YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Very powerful.
It is. Well, you know, Brad, I want to go back to this idea of what his disciples were preaching. They were preached what he preached, repentance. They were preaching what John the Baptist preached, repentance. And again, David M. touched on it yesterday. It's not just, some people think repentance is saying, well, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to do this sin anymore. Mm-hmm. Repentance has this idea of a change of mind about your self-rule and your sin problem, what the sins are. It does include that, but it's also a change of heart about that sin. It's agreeing with God about the evilness of your self-rule and sin, and it's also the change of direction, saying, God, I don't want to go this way anymore. I'm surrendering to you to allow you to take me in this new direction. And the Jewish people did not like this message. They didn't like it one bit. And we're talking about the Jewish religious leaders. There were obviously people that responded. There's a remnant that responded. But the people themselves, the leaders, didn't like it. And here's the thing. As disciples, Jesus sends them out to proclaim the euangelion. If we're disciples, we're to proclaim the euangelion. Mm-hmm. We're to share. And we are conduits. And in our culture, we've kind of become collection points instead of a conduit.
Yeah.
And the difference is the two is illustrated when you remember when we went to Israel, you were over there with me. There were two bodies of water that everybody really wants to see when we go over, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
Two completely different bodies of water. The Sea of Galilee has fish in it. It has life in it. It's pure. It's clean because water comes in, water goes out. The Dead Sea, water comes in, but it doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collection point and everything dies. Nothing lives in the Sea of the Dead Sea. Well, we have a lot of people like the Dead Sea in our churches. They just collect and collect and collect and nothing goes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were made for it to come in and go out. And so he sends them out to proclaim. Well, at the end of verse 7, it says he gave them authority over unclean spirits. In verse 13, it says they cast out many demons. He not only gave them authority, he gave them the ability to heal. They could go and pray for somebody. That person would be healed of a disease that prior to that, they had no way to heal. And so it was miraculous. They would heal. In Matthew 10's account, it says that they healed every disease and affliction, every. So there was nothing outside their ability to heal. And in Luke, it says they did it everywhere. So imagine, everywhere they went, every person that was sick and they prayed for was healed. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Totally, totally. When we were talking about it in that last segment about when they were done, and we'll look at it later in the week, just the importance of resting, finding a desolate place. But you've been in ministry long enough. You have those highs and lows. Well, this would be a major high. You think they weren't energized over this, you know, excited to come back and speak about what had happened. And Jesus is like, let's go rest for a little bit.
Mm.
I mean, it takes it out of you for sure, but there's definitely a level of excitement that comes when you see God at work.
Yes, it is. And when God is sending a message out, he will, at least in during this time, with the apostles, he sent out accompanying signs. Like, and if you go back with Moses, he sent accompanying signs. He did miracles because the law was coming. Mm-hmm. With Elijah, he was ushering in the order of the prophets, so he gave him miraculous signs. And now with Jesus and the apostles, it's the new covenant. And so he gives signs and wonders. In Hebrews, it says, God also bore signs and wonders and various miracles that he distributed according to his will. And so he was projecting his authority through that over disease and over demons as they cast out demons and they healed people, because he wanted people to know this is from God. Now, how do we know that today? How do we know his authority today? Well, it's his word. Mm-hmm. Does it line up with his word? There's this fascination in some circles today with, quote, signs and wonders. There's no ability for people to go up and just lay their hands on the people like they could then. Can you pray and see God heal? Of course he heals. Mm-hmm. He can heal anybody he wants at any mm-hmm. time. But he gave his power through his apostles for a very specific outpouring to attest to their credibility, and they gave us the Bible. We have their eyewitness accounts. And so now, to attest whether somebody's from God or not, you don't have to have a divine sign. You can see the word. Mm-hmm. Does it line up with the word that has been given to us?
Yeah.
And so, but there's a lot of what I call fake healers out there. We're going to talk about those in a minute as we go into the next little part here, because in verses 8 through 10, he sends his disciples out on this mission trip to prove their dependence on God, mm-hmm. on Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And why is that important? Well, I learned early on, Brad, in ministry, when I left the FBI to go full-time into vocational ministry, that if I'm going to trust God to deliver somebody from darkness out there that I'm preaching the Evangelion to, then I need to be able to depend on him to take care of me. Mm-hmm. If I can't trust God to provide for my needs, how in the world is he going to change somebody's eternal destiny? Mm-hmm. And so he charged them in verse 8. That means he gave them this command. Don't take anything. He says, take nothing except a staff. No bag, no money. You don't take anything.
Not even bread.
No, don't take anything. You just trust me. And he says, in Matthew's account, he says, you received without paying. You go give without charging, basically. You give without pay. We don't use the Evangelion to get rich off the poor, off the hurting, and off those who are desperate. Do people do that? Absolutely. Remember the bleeding woman? Mm-hmm. People took advantage of that woman.
Sure.
People who had no ability to heal her charged her money. Yep. Oh, yeah, give us this and we'll pray. We'll do this. We'll do these things for you.
Sounds familiar.
Happens a lot. Yeah. You send in that $100 and I promise you, I hear you. Right. In fact, I can see you right now sitting in front of the TV. You're struggling with back pain. If you send in that seed money right now, your back pain's going to go away. Do you know how many times I've listened to that garbage? Lori gets mad. I'll turn it on and she says, Doug, why are you listening to that?
Exactly.
I go, I just want to hear what they're saying now.
Yeah.
I want to hear what kind of garbage these fake healers are putting out, because mm-hmm. they are. Guys like Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price,
Creflo
Dollar, these men who tell you, oh, they have to have a $60 million jet on the backs of older people across this country they're preying on. That's exactly what he's warning them not to be. Don't go out. You go out and prove your dependence on Yahweh. Mm. He'll take care of you.
Well, when we come back, just even speaking to the testimony of that, even in our lives, and how we can be dependent on a lot of things, and he sends them out. I want you to be totally dependent on me. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. Love to hear from you. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without. Never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Tuesday afternoon. We got Wilson in there driving the ship. Wilson, glad to have you this week. As our normal guy, Jeremy, is out traveling the world, it sounds like. But glad you tuned in. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. Wilson is anxious to take your call. Anyway, hey, Doug, I was, by the way, just quick plug for the SWAT Bible studies this week. If you're in and around the Northeast Florida area, you want to get plugged into a good men's Bible study, go to SWATradio.com. You can click on the meetings tab there. You'll see the various locations and the times that we meet. We would love to have you in person. We're certainly glad you're tuned in here, either through the radio or through the SWAT Radio app, but nothing like being in person. So come join us. Check out that SWAT Radio tab, meetings tab, and just pick a spot. Come join us in person.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was thinking, and I kind of alluded to this as we went into the break, and I was just, I always like to come in here with my notes open if I can read them still, but I was thinking about this particular part we're looking at is, you know, Jesus sends them out two by two with no bread, no bag, no money. And I think about, you know, as we go out into wherever we're going, what are we depending on? You know, I'm sure you on your first mission trip to Russia, I'm certain there was a little bit of angst. You're going out. Are we going to say the right thing? Am I going to do the right thing? Who am I going to meet? I was thinking about a trip you and I did. You and I did a short-term mission trip with about 10 other SWAT brothers to the Philippines. And I was thinking about certain areas that we were kind of told, probably don't want to go into that area. And yeah. I remember you and I having conversations about, hey, if God's sending us there, this is in his hands. This isn't our ministry. This is his ministry.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much in the West, at least certainly as Americans, we tend to look at a challenge in front of us and we go, okay, how much money do I have? How many connections do I have? We start going through those things as opposed to just stepping out in faith, knowing God's going to provide us. He's going to give us what we need to accomplish his purposes.
Well, you and I have talked about even the first time you went to India.
Oh.
You know, and thinking about, and you've been walking with the Lord how long? Like, I mean, 20, 30, 40 30, years?
Over, time, probably over 35 years.
Yeah, a long time. But I think it's been so ingrained into our culture, right, that we plan so much that we don't even leave room for the Holy Spirit to move us or provide for us. And that's why I think this passage is so helpful, especially this last thing we're talking about, proving our dependence on God. When you go out and you're talking to people who aren't followers and you're sharing with them the Evangelion, what evidence is there for them? Like, why should they believe you over somebody else? If you go out and you've got everything planned out, you're just a successful guy. Right. You've planned everything out. And I can't tell you how many people I've come into contact with over the last 30 years in ministry. They have everything planned out with no room for God to do something amazing because it's already planned. They've got the plan for how they're going to provide. They've got the plan. And this is not to say you can't plan. Planning's okay. Man plans his ways, but what? God directs his steps.
That's right.
And even our church services today, Brad, I'm convinced that if Jesus Christ came back in the flesh today, he wouldn't even be allowed to speak in most churches because it's not on the program. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's true.
No,
we've got
right.
everything so planned out that there's no room for the Spirit to redirect or to say, hey, we're going this place. And it hamstrings us, I believe, in our efforts to... Not that God will grow us through it eventually, but it still limits, I think, at times.
And you're not saying, obviously, and I know this because you and I have done enough ministry together, we're not talking about not having order.
No.
Order's
good. No, not at all.
But I was thinking, even as we came in to the broadcast, we're talking about this Stronger Man Conference. Now, I'm not promoting Driscoll or any of that, but how many ministry leaders would be bold enough to say, hey, that's wrong right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, here's the thing. And I'm not saying I agree with everything that the way Mark Driscoll did it, but I think it actually ended up being worse because he ended up almost apologizing for doing it after he did it. I mean, I was kind of glad that somebody said, hey, this is wrong. You shouldn't do it. Can
right,
you imagine?
Right.
There have been times before where I've been at a big event and I just wanted to stand up and say, this is wrong.
Right,
don't
right.
do that.
Yeah. I was thinking about, is it Jordan Peterson who will go up to certain of these faith healers?
Yeah.
And is that who I'm?
Oh, Justin.
Or Justin Peters.
Peters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's been up to him and he'd been there and expose them for what they are, fake healers. They're not faith healers. They're fake healers. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, it says, we are not to take the gospel and use it for shameful gain. That's not what we do. We don't, 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, we're not to see Jesus as a means for gain. And unfortunately, and I'm sure you've seen this as well. I can remember there was a time, Brad, probably, I think it was about maybe 12, 13 years ago when I was doing a lot of speaking around the country at different kind of men's things.
Yeah.
That I was at an event and there was a guy who was one of the conference speakers at that same event. And he literally would not go on stage to open up the Bible and speak until he had a check in his hand for $10,000. And I don't care how good you are at speaking. It doesn't matter what your resume is as a person of the world. If you are representing Jesus Christ and you are giving the gospel, if you're proclaiming the gospel, mm-hmm. how in the world do you think you can claim you need anything in return before you get up and do it?
Yeah. You're at that stage, you're not a shepherd anymore.
No. Yeah. I mean, but think about this. He can't lay claim to anything about the gospel apart from God giving it to him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, he didn't come up with this. He wouldn't even know it apart from the Holy Spirit. And he's doing something that even the Holy, that Jesus told his guys, listen, you received without pay. Don't go charge people for this. Mm-hmm. Give without pay. Yeah. And so in verse 9, he says, not two tunics, because one tunic, it's an outer covering, mm-hmm. was for sleeping. And what he's saying is, trust me. This is a big issue in our culture because we live in a very commercialized culture. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Brad, sometimes do a Google search on pastors with their own jets.
Did you just see what I typed in?
Oh no, did you do that?
No, I don't know. For some reason, my network is not working. But I was thinking of it seems like you and I did this one broadcast years ago, where we talked about the net worth of the top five faith healers, what they call faith healers, and I was blown away. Like $300-400 million. I think Kenneth Copeland, maybe
$750 million for Kenneth Copeland.
Wow!
But and he had multiple jets, multiple planes. So here's the thing. I heard one of them justifying why they needed a $60 million jet because they couldn't. They could not trust in the reliability of Delta Airlines. Hmm. When they needed to be overseas and then they needed to get back. Listen, there is one guy that if I mention his name right now, everybody has heard of him. He's not a conservative preacher, but he's a very well-known preacher. When I was in Africa, I was told by one of the head leaders over there that they had wanted him to come, but he would not come unless he was guaranteed $1 million in donations.
$1 million.
From Africa. And I mean, we're not even talking about a rich area. And I was just like, really? I mean, I thought he was going to say 1 million people.
Right.
He said $1 million. And that same guy has since gone on to have several problems that have been very public issues. And so all that to say, when Jesus sent out his disciples, they were to proclaim the Evangelion. They were to project his authority, his light in the darkness, and then to prove their dependence on him. Trust me, we're gonna come back and hit that again tomorrow, because I really, there's a couple other things about that we would all do well to remember. So I hope if you're listening out there, whether you're if you're a believer, you're a disciple. I mean, you can't say, well, I'm not a disciple. If you're a believer, you're a disciple, and you need to show your dependence on God, because it's that dependence that testifies to your trust in him. And that's what he wants from us. Trust in him. I remember my first AOL account, my first email account was depend on him, depend on him at whatever site I had. And so, because I just wanted to be reminded that we are to be dependent on him. So.
Amen. Amen. We need that every day. We need that constant reminder. Well, that's a wrap for today. Glad you tuned in. Again, shoot us an email. Love to hear from you. Send that to brad@swatradio.com or doug@swatradio.com. And again, keep those men in your prayers that we've been lifting up. And Doug, I'm looking forward to getting back into it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go to SWATradio.com. Click on the meetings tab. We'll be meeting tomorrow for SWAT Radio Bible Studies. Love to have you in person. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.